Hi, everyone. Welcome to Dishing Drama with Dana Wilkie Uncensored. We have officially moved to Patreon. Here's a sneak peek of Dishing Drama with Dana Wilkie.
Come on, bitch, let's go.
The Man Who Gossiped Too Much, New York Magazine, April 22nd to May 5th, 2024, just dropped. Crazy Days and Nights, NT, is the subject matter of this expose done by Lila Shapiro. Some of you may have seen it, some of you maybe didn't. Now, we've been doing a tribute to Kyle Marissa Roth, who is the TikToker who used to spill NT's blinds all over TikTok, and everyone really loved her. And she was very promotional and positive about Crazy Days and Nights and the gossip lines that she was spreading. And she created a huge following. She had 700,000 followers, and she has mysteriously passed away, which I covered in last week's show. And now I'm doing a tribute to her by playing all the blinds that were ever dropped in chronology about Jennifer Lopez, who sent her a cease and desist before she mysteriously passed away. And that will be in the very end of this episode, another period of time of these blinds. We had already done 2012 on the last episode, so we're going further into time, and we'll go all the way up till 2024. But that's sort of a bonus listen at the end of this episode. So this article drops about C. Dan and very timely, considering that Kyle's death made a firestorm in a lot of the tabloids, and even Forbes magazine covered it. So it was like a big deal. And I found out that NT actually hated Kyle's guts, which is so strange because she was so pro him. But I felt like there was an episode in this article. I wanted you guys to hear it because it was written by a whistleblowing, you know, traditional journalist for a very highbrow magazine. And I wanted to bring Cassandra on since much of it is about her and see what she agreed with and what she didn't agree with. And I also wanted to share my take of the article at the end, what I really liked, what I was disappointed by. And we get into it, and also you guys hear this journalist's different take. So, yeah. Thought that would be fun, given what we've been talking about. I was interviewed for this article, and I don't know if I appear in it because I'm reading it for the first time with you guys, but I also know that NT John Nelson, that's his real name, was interviewed too, and so was Cassandra, the very Cassandra who's the subject of the article and is on the show today. And so that's why this is going to be so great to hear her take after reading it with me. Anyway, I invited her to come on the show and talk about this article today with me, since we were both kind of talked to about it. And I also wanted to have an opportunity to read it to you. And I think that Kyle Marissa Roth would very much appreciate us doing this today in tribute to her. She didn't know how NT felt about her. He said in a message that is posted in the Patreon chat, "I wanted to commit a violent crime against her." I don't think he was serious when he said it, but it definitely was a strange thing to say via text message to anyone. You know, why would you want to? For obvious reasons, I don't need to explain that to you guys. So let me read you the article. "The Man Who Gossiped Too Much." We'll pretend we're doing like an audible. For almost two decades, John Nelson anonymously published blind items skewering the Hollywood elite on the big crazy days and nights. Then his identity was revealed in the midst of a messy affair. One afternoon, nearly 20 years ago, a lawyer named John Robert Nelson began to lead a double life. He was 37, working for a small firm in a small town on the coast of Northern California, and earning so little that he had to get up at 3 every morning to deliver newspapers. The alter ego he created led a more glamorous existence, quote NT lawyer. As that persona was known, was the author of Crazy Days and Nights, a Hollywood gossip blog that would go on to acquire cult status among devotees of celebrity dirt. In his first post, Nelson wrote that he'd started the blog because he was in a unique position of being able to tell you what really goes on behind the scenes and what even the gossip magazines can't find out. In the short biography he posted on the site, He claimed he represented big stars going through arrests, divorces, breakups and hookups, new deals and cancellations. He promised to dish about his clients as well as his own Hollywood adventures with the celebrities and pseudo-celebrities who populated his life. If his claims were to be believed, Enty was among the most connected guys in Hollywood. He was friends with Leonardo DiCaprio. He drank with Frank Sinatra. He picked up Katherine Heigl on the side of the highway at 3 a.m. when she ran out of gas and collected Quentin Tarantino off a bender in Carrico. A disclaimer said the site published, quote, conjecture and fiction, in addition to accurately reporting information. It did not specify which anecdotes were which. It was a good time to launch a gossip blog by the mid-aughts. The public had grown weary of the fawning celebrity coverage that mainstream entertainment outlets had been offering up for decades. Magazines often worked in collaboration with publicists to present ennobling portraits and the stars and the industry that made them glossing over drug addictions and infidelities, sexual harassment and corruption. Meanwhile, a new cohort of gossip bloggers like Elaine Louie and Perez Hilton seemed to be stripping away the facade, and they were attracting huge followings on the internet. Enty was never as big as they were, in part because he wrote anonymously, but he offered something they didn't. Writing in a unique style, hard-boiled and absurd. He trafficked primarily in blind items entries written as puzzles that could each theoretically apply to at least two different celebrities. Clever ways to both evade potential libel lawsuits and engage readers who would guess the identities of the stories. Subs in the comments section. This allowed him to be more salacious than Hilton or Louis. In 2016, a glowing Vanity Fair write-up declared him the king of the blind item, claiming Enty had become a direct source for gossip that evades the normal channels of celebrity news and feeds directly into the internet's never-ending appetite for the juice. What made him the king, according to Vanity Fair, was that unlike other gossip bloggers who might occasionally write a blind item, Enty revealed the identities of his subjects, albeit sometimes years later. Enty's Hollywood was a dark and messy world, uglier and more menacing than the glamorous town imagined by outsiders. The authenticity of this vision, and in turn the authenticity of his scoops, was bolstered by how pathetic he became across his own accounts. Enty described himself as a 300-pound heavy-drinking entertainment lawyer who had been married 6 times, lived in his parents' basement in L.A., and was bullied by his famous clientelia, Zulub, with the right connections and a nose for dirt. In reality, Nelson didn't live in his parents' basement, and he hasn't been married 6 times, only 3. Today, he and his wife, Victoria, live in Indio, California, a desert city near Palm Springs. Until recently, Nelson told me the people who knew he wrote the blog included his wife, his brother, a couple of friends and acquaintances, and a handful of celebrities he'd known for years. Then this past fall, his identity was revealed in an unusual legal dispute. He had an affair with a woman named Cassandra Crouse, whom he met through his podcast, which he started in 2018. A fan and aspiring podcaster herself, Crouse became his collaborator, then his lover. He told her he was single and wanted to marry her. When she discovered he was already married and he stopped returning her calls, she threatened to tell the world who he was.
You want more? I'll give you more.
Eventually, he pursued a restraining order against her, a decision that had unintended consequences. First, Crouse followed through on her threat, creating a podcast of her own in which she narrated the story of their relationship in harrowing detail. On her Patreon, where she posted sadomasochist texts he'd sent to her, she framed him as an abuser who tormented, deceived, and humiliated her. Internet sleuths and eventually a reporter for the Daily Beast dug up the court documents he filed and confirmed that Nelson was, in fact, Enty's lawyer.
You want more? I'll give you more.
And so the gossip blogger became the gossip. His mother, who'd never known about his alter ego, began getting phone calls from reporters. People on the internet called him an abuser and a grifter. Now he was looking into filing a defamation lawsuit on top of the restraining order. He'd submitted thousands of text messages saved on his phone and computer to the FBI's Internet Crime Complaint Center. And for the first time in his career, he agreed to sit down with a reporter in person. Now let me bring Cassandra Crouse into the chat, since this article centered around her. I think it's only fair she read the rest of it.
Well, and I have a lot of time on my hands while I wait for the FBI.
Oh my God.
So
I'm so sorry about that. That is so crazy. Oh God, it's so crazy. All right, so let's continue the article and then we'll get to all of that.
I just love how he puts that, or he says that right at the end of the last paragraph. It's like, wow, okay, buddy. It goes on to say, Nelson proposed we meet on a Tuesday in February by some rose bushes at a park in Palm Desert. He wouldn't give me his phone number. I wondered if he might bail, but a few minutes after noon, a balding man in a blue checked polo shirt, gray chino shorts, and black flip-flops shuffled up and extended his hand in my direction. Contrary to what he had written in his ex bio, he was not 300 pounds or even overweight. Sitting at a picnic table in the shade, he removed his glasses, plain black rectangles, and set them on the table. His manner was mild and digressive. He was given to ending almost every thought with a mumbled or whatever. As one acquaintance put it, he has the vibe of a Florsheim shoe salesman.
Well, which way did it go, George? Which way did it go?
That didn't bother Nelson. People tend to forget what I look like, he told me. I like it like that. I don't need to be the center of attention. And can we just have a moment of silence for the shirt she's describing? Because this is the same shirt that's hanging behind him in all of these like Zoom call pictures I have with him, the same shirt he wears to court. I'm convinced at this point he only has one shirt.
Oh my gosh, Cassandra, ew.
I know, it's
It's like,
so weird.
that's so weird. And you know what? It's kind of like, you know how people that are a little off collect things or use things for symbols? It's like of that symbolic vibe, if it isn't just that he's gross. I don't know.
Yeah, he's very into like an 80s polo with the collar flipped up. It's very 80s yuppie villain vibes.
You know, I've been out with a lot of girls at this school. I don't see what makes you so different.
I have some taste.
It goes on to say it was an ordinary day in the desert, hot and dry. Nelson drank from a bottle of orange vitamin water, which I would always order when he was coming here because that's all he drank. It was gross. I never have abused anybody in my whole life, he told me. On the contrary, Crows had been abusing him, he said. Nearby, someone was on a lawnmower cutting grass, ignoring the noise and dust. Nelson said he doubted the restraining order would stop her from lying about him. Can I tell you why? He asked. Money. Content. The incentive for her is to ratchet it up. That was something he knew a lot about, to get new content. He said, you've just got to start making up stuff.
Ooh, I know that must burn right now.
It's just if when I hear that, to me it feels like projection. And
But I mean, have you gotten a lot of money out of him, or what is he talking about even?
I don't know. I guess he's, yeah, I mean, I think he's saying like anything that she says about me, she's making up for money. But it's like if you go to my Patreon right now, you're gonna find episodes about old 90s movies like Elizabethtown and stuff like that. I have tried to deep dive other subjects, but the only time I record about him is when he's literally taking me to court and harassing me. So, I mean, he's the one that knows about making stuff up, and the article does get into that.
But he sounds like he's trying to set it up, like you're trying to put him in a position where he has to pay you. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, and I notice he doesn't accuse me of extorting him in this article. He's very careful not to do that.
So he's just saying she's doing it for money.
For love. Well, he's saying that I was forcing him to stay with me for love, but he's saying that I'm telling people about it for money.
I don't understand. I mean, didn't he offer money to you that you turned down?
Yeah, I told him it made him very uncomfortable when he was giving me all this money, and he's like, I need to know if you ever have less than this amount in your bank account. I'm like, okay,
So this is,
fine. I'm not gonna say no. Look.
yeah, no, of course. But I'm just saying, like, it just sounds like this is just not in reality. It's like he's trying to frame it, is what it sounds like
Yeah.
to me. I just was curious your take on that. I do know that you were offered money. In some cases, you took it while you were with him. You know, did he ever try to shut you up with money or no?
No, and there was nothing ever like that. So he would use money, I feel like, in a controlling way to kind of be like, well, I paid for the kids' therapy. So, aren't you happy with me? Aren't you happy? And so I would stop asking questions, basically. It goes on to say, Nelson says he grew up in Washington, D.C., the son of two government workers. His parents split up when he was 8. He was reluctant to tell me much about his family, and the details he shared are impossible to corroborate. The only memory he recounted of his parents was of them fighting before they got divorced. I would wake up to them screaming at each other, he said. His mother was director of the National School Lunch Program and later the national director of WIC, the Nutrition Program for Women and Children. His father lacked ambition, Nelson said. He didn't really care about advancement or anything like that. So it's funny that he doesn't steal my dad's origin story like he did on his origin story deep dive episodes of his podcast. So my dad was in radio and he met NT, tells him his life story. And then immediately after, NT does this series called his origin story. And he basically just ripped off my dad's entire life story. And so in this account, he tells a different version of his childhood to the reporter. Well, and when he says that his dad didn't really care about advancement or anything like that, I don't know why, but it just makes me think of, like, is NT talking about eugenics or something? Like, what is he talking about?
Oh, you mean ambition? Or I took it as like his dad wasn't ambitious.
Well, because I know that they were political. And so I just wondered if that was a loaded word or a dog whistle.
I don't know. Interesting.
And of course, his parents fighting when he's very young, and that's like his memory from him being 8. That's, if true, traumatizing and probably explains a lot about him.
I don't think that's true. That's just my opinion. I don't think that's true.
Yeah.
Because a lot of narcissists or people that are, you know, real ones, not like the BSE ones, right?
Yeah.
They will create childhood memories or trauma that are not necessarily real to victimize themselves. For example, they'll say like, my parent was an alcoholic and did all these things, but it may or may not be totally true. So if you ask more than one sibling, they'll say, gee, I don't remember our parents alcoholics. That would be an example. Okay.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, and he did tell me that he was abused sexually as a child. I mean, I don't know if I should say that, but now I wonder if anything he told me was true.
That's interesting. He didn't bring that up in the article.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know if we would classify it as like sexual abuse, but like showing a child pornography, like, you know, he describes this entire incident, seeing his teacher get out of the shower with his father.
What?
I don't know why he didn't share that with the reporter. Yeah, or if it was all lies. And of course, remember his child that was adopted. He didn't share that with the reporter. He also, well, we'll get to it.
Keep going.
Says, after the divorce, Nelson and his mother moved around. When he was in high school, they lived near Dallas, where Nelson claimed he had his first exposure to show business. He recalled attending a music festival with a friend his junior year of high school. The friend was doing lighting work, and the two ended up backstage. He was fascinated by how different the musicians seemed from their public persona. You go see this person you've admired, and they're treating some staffer like crap, he said. A few actors were hanging out with them backstage. That was the first time that I saw them up close. They looked completely different in real life, Nelson said. I'm watching people do all kinds of crazy drugs and injecting stuff. This, he decided, was what he wanted to do. I don't need to be out in front, he thought. I like being in the nuts and bolts and seeing what's going on. While attending Texas Lutheran University in the late 80s, Nelson wrote a column in the student paper under a pseudonym. He pretended to be a rube who had grown up on a farm, a fish out of water, perplexed by student life on a busy college campus. Around then, he started working as a freelance concert promoter, but he didn't earn enough to consistently pay the bills. So after graduating, he got a job at an airline answering phones, then moved to sales. In the early 30s, he applied to Thomas Jefferson School of Law, a low-ranked establishment that later lost its bar accreditation because he did not want to risk applying to a place that might reject him. He passed the bar in 2005 and was hired by a firm in Humboldt County, California, handling probate proceedings and business contracts.
That's so cool because a lot of the fans thought that he was a probate attorney. That was the rumors for years, that he secretly was a probate attorney. So that was correct.
And it is interesting that he was already writing under a pseudonym at that time. And then he wrote that book about his daughter under a pseudonym and all the blind items he writes under a pseudonym.
What's the book about his daughter?
Yeah, so it's called The Blocks. He sent it to me, and it's about a little girl and her first crush, and then it's like a mystery time travel adventure for tweens that he wrote.
Oh.
Yeah, it's kind of creepy, to be honest. So, but it, also interesting that Thomas Jefferson School of Law went under.
Yeah, I glossed over that in my head. I was like, wait a minute.
Lost their bar establishment. So
it's not a really great place to get your education from, apparently.
Yeah.
Saying the obvious. Okay.
And this is where it gets weird for me, because they're not mentioning the fact that that's when he got married and had a child named Noah. Like, he got married to Sun Young and had a child in Humboldt.
Wow. So that happened at this time?
Yeah. So working for a small firm in the middle of nowhere, he was bored and restless. He had a wife and kid. What? Excuse me, ma'am?
Forgot to mention that.
Yeah. I guess. It goes on to say, he told me the LA IT girl, Corey Kennedy, whom he described as a friend, had recently started a blog, and he thought, hey, I can try that. It's free. Kennedy said she doesn't remember ever meeting him.
That's
Nelson.
Weird.
Yeah. Nelson launched the blog in November 2006. While he passed his days in the office, NT lawyer supposedly went on a date at the LA celebrity haunt, The Ivy, ran into the soprano star Jamie Lynn Siegler, and represented an A-list actress who almost got arrested for crack. Nelson said that during this time, he was visiting LA once a month and staying with friends. 6 months later, Nelson moved to LA. He thought he could get back into the music business, maybe manage some musicians. Instead, he took a job at a small firm in central LA where he handled probate law. He told me he had a side hustle as an entertainment attorney and showed me a few emails from 2011 in which he appeared to be representing a small-time producer. He was known, he said, for being a person who would handle legal matters for cheap. He first met Hollywood people through friends he'd made as a concert promoter, he said, and later through his work as a lawyer. Nelson didn't try to make money from the blog for the first few years. It was more about making sure everybody had a good time, or just a playground for predators, in my opinion.
To have a blog site that has no income strategy for like 4 years, just saying, that's weird, especially someone like Anthony. He doesn't seem like he doesn't not care about money, you know?
Mm-hmm. A small community formed around the site, the same people in the comments every day, and he got to know some of them. He ran a Facebook page as Enty and made a point of wishing every member happy birthday. He met his third wife, Victoria, through that community. He told me he never fooled himself that the blog was a big deal. When Hilton and other gossip sites posted a production still of Jennifer Aniston topless, they got cease and desist notices. Nelson, who had also posted the picture, didn't, but he took it down anyway and wrote on the blog that he received the notice. I wanted to be part of the group, he told me. Another gossip writer, Ted Casablanca, who was known as the king of blind items before he retired in 2012, recalled Nelson reaching out to him around this time. It's like he was pulling up to a poker game, Casablanca said. He wanted in. So I do just want to point out that the reporter completely glosses over the fact that when John meets Victoria in this paragraph, in the inception of the blog, John is married with a child. And then he, from what we understand, and then gets with Victoria through the blog, and she moves to be with him.
So he leaves his wife?
Yeah, and then he goes with Victoria, and then Victoria tells me through DMs, which I have proof of, that he owed Sun Young child support and refused to pay her any child support, and she had to take him to court to get any kind of money.
So Kyle, who we're doing a tribute to later today, reads also Casablanca's blinds, but I wasn't sure where she was getting them from. And I wondered if Enty had reused some of his material on CDAN, because I don't know where you get that you know? So
that's oh, sure. Yeah.
Weird. Because you know that he takes other people's content, like what happened with the Amanda Bynes Finsta account.
Mm-hmm.
It was called Ashley Banks. Amanda Bynes put pictures of herself and her ID on it, and she got a bunch of followers. It was public at first. Then when it got really popular, she made it private. But in there, she had allegations that were done against her parents, saying, you know, that her main account had been taken over by them. And because of the conservatorship, she couldn't say what she really wanted to say. She said she got pregnant by someone when she was 13. Everyone assumes it's Dan Schneider. She puts the famous post that you see on Enty's website where he seems to imply that he received it from Amanda Bynes, and it spells out Dan Schneider. It's cryptic. That was on there in this Finsta account, which is called Ashley Banks. And I'll post with this episode the screenshots from some of it. Some of it is out there. You can see it. But anyway, so that came from there. But of course, it was great for Enty because nobody really knew when she privatized the account. If you weren't already in there, you wouldn't know that it came from that account. So it was easy to believe that Enty was sent it. It's quite clever, actually. And I don't have a problem that he posted it, but he should have said this came from Amanda Bynes' Finsta accounts, not the way he used it. Now, Ted Casablanca is an American entertainment journalist and gossip columnist. He had an E! Online column called The Awful Truth, which ran for 16 years, ending in July 2012. Some people say he got fired by E! Because he pushed the limit too much. Some people say he's like a prophet because he just was so bang on, not on everything, but a lot of things. And he was an excellent writer. And some people say he retired. So that's who Ted Casablanca is. I don't know where people are getting his blinds from, though. So I wonder if C-Dan has them, because where are they getting them? If you guys know, tell me.
It just proves that he's lying. I mean, if it's not obvious, you know, that he's not best friends with Selena and just visiting her grave every day. I don't...
I mean, yeah, of course, some are more obvious than others.
So it says, fans seemed to buy what Enty was selling. They'd speculate about his sourcing, theorizing at one point that Robert Downey Jr. was dropping tips in the comments. Downey's publicist flatly denied this, but fellow gossip writers were not so easily impressed. Hilton, not exactly a figure known for journalistic scruples, felt that Enty's standards on the blog frequently fell short. I think he's full of shit, he told me. Another prominent gossip writer doubted his sourcing. There's just no way he's getting that much scandalous information on a daily basis, they told me. I get maybe 2 good blind items a week, and one of them might just be that some TV show will start filming in March. The writer came to believe Nelson regurgitated most of his items from message boards like Reddit and Lipstick Alley and turned them into blind items. The posts that resonated, they added, usually rang true because they played into ideas that readers already had about any given celebrity. What he does is very sleight of hand, the writer said. He'd write a blind item and the reader would say, I think I've heard this before. So the whole thing about Robert Downey Jr., that was Mr. Him, and his girlfriend came forward and actually accused John of being a predator and said that she helped him cover up crimes.
For the full scoop, join the Dishing Drama Dana Patreon. The link is in this audio description. It's only $6 a month, and you'll get the best information and tea about the things you care about, and even the things you don't know you care about. What are you waiting for?